Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Monday, Tuesday through Thursday here at WBAI 99.5 FM on your mind. On your mind, The Positive Mill with Armand DeMind. That's what Michael said. This is The Positive Mill with Armand DeMind. We've been talking about men, and I'm glad to hear that Gary picks up the idea that men need to be talked about, because I think men need to be talked about. There are women out there who are listening, and men who are listening, who want to hear what we have to say to you. We want to hear this information about men. People don't understand it about themselves. Today we're going to be talking about men and their boundaries and their walls. The difference between their boundaries and their walls. Something very important to understand. I've gotten a lot of feedback on these last few programs. You know, this, while we're doing it, as I said, I'm kind of bringing myself to where I'm going to be doing a series about women. Here's one that I want to bring to you that somebody sent me. This is about women. I don't have the author's name, but it was forwarded to me. And it talked about a woman who said, I sat under a pecan tree in the hot Texas sun on a summer day, drinking iced tea and getting to know my new sister-in-law, Estelle. Not much older than I, but already the mother of three, Estelle seemed to be experienced and wise. Get yourself some girlfriends, she advised, clinking the ice cubes in her glasses. You're going to need girlfriends. Go places with them, do things with them. And what a funny piece of advice, I thought. This is written by a woman who thought this, and she said, hadn't I just gotten married? Hadn't I just joined the couple world? I was a married woman, for goodness sake, not a young girl who needs girlfriends. But I listened to this new sister-in-law. I got myself some girlfriends. As the years tumbled by, one after another, gradually I came to understand that Estelle knew what she was talking about. And here's what I know about them. If you're a woman, girlfriends bring casseroles and scrub your bathroom when you're sick. Girlfriends keep your children and keep your secrets. Girlfriends give advice when you ask for it. Sometimes you take it, sometimes you don't. Girlfriends always tell you when you're right. But they're usually honest. They don't always tell you when you're right. They don't always tell you that you're right, but they will be honest. Girlfriends will love you, even if they don't agree with your choices. Girlfriends might send you cards for various occasions, but they might not. It doesn't matter in the least. Girlfriends laugh with you, and you don't need canned jokes to start the laughter. Girlfriends pull you out of jams. Girlfriends don't keep a calendar that lets them know who hosted the last party. Girlfriends will give a party for your son or daughter when they get married or have a baby, in whichever order that comes. That's what your girlfriends do for you. And girlfriends are there for you in an instant and truly when the hard times come. Girlfriends listen when you lose a job or a husband. Girlfriends listen when your children break your heart. Girlfriends listen when your parents' minds and your parents' bodies fails. She says, my girlfriends bless my life. This relates to a program I did a while back about men who have only men friends, only women friends, but no men friends, and women who have only men friends, but no women friends. The value of having female friendships if you're a woman. Very important. We're going to go back to talking about men. Men. Boundaries. What is a boundary? Okay? A boundary says, I am separate, and I can learn to emotionally take care of myself. Boundaries are psychological declarations of independence. A boundary is also a dividing line between, you know, the boy's world of the village of living in that little family and the adult world of living in the wilderness. By setting his or her own boundaries, a man states he no longer needs his mother to watch over him. He is now setting his boundaries. I will go as far as I choose to go. I will determine what my boundary is. I don't need mommy to tell me. He also states he no longer is afraid of not pleasing his mother and is ready to separate or suffer the separation or abandonment that may come if he chooses to set his own boundaries. So what this is a definition of a man's needs to set his own boundaries and not to have boundaries that are dependent on the reaction of his mother figure, his girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever that is. A boundary needs two components to be healthy. Okay, now this is first, the man must be able to willingly separate emotionally and even risk the end of a relationship if he's going to set a healthy boundary. If he says, this is me, that's you, and here's where I stop, here's where I don't go any further, he's got to have the courage to be willing to separate. He must stop being a boy trying to keep his mama no matter what, you know? So if she says to you, you know, come on, let's have a drink, and he knows she's a drunk, and he says, no, I'm not going to go down that path with you. In fact, I'm not going to be with you if you drink. He is setting that boundary. Setting that boundary. The test of a man's readiness for boundary setting is his ability to risk and then face the consequence of his actions. Even though it is often no total separation when a man sets boundaries, a man must be able to risk it. As one of my friends put it, I needed to be able to leave before I could set boundaries. That includes on things like jobs, working even with friends, and in relationships. A man, in his maturation, learns eventually to set boundaries. Listen to me, guys. I mean, I know you're out there, and I know the way you felt. Many of you felt so tied to your love object, whoever your love person is. Or sometimes to your job, or sometimes even to your house, that you're not willing to say, no, I can't take this any further. This is not going to, I'm going to stop right here. I refuse to go any further. The second step in boundary setting is using the separation to move towards one's inner life. You know, a young boy was separating during a kind of an initiation in order to face his ordeal. He was starting over and leaving what he no longer needed behind him. Separation is always for a higher purpose. The litmus test of a healthy boundary is the insight a man finds about himself in the midst of the pain. When a man sets a boundary and says, no, here's where I stop, or here's where I go, he has to face the internal pain of not just following along, not just following his instinct, his impulses. Setting a boundary could be refusing to get angry. Setting a boundary could be getting angry. But willing to face yourself and to see what happens on the inside of you if you don't do what's easiest for you. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Been talking about men over the last few weeks, 3 weeks now. Leading up to a program tomorrow, we're going to talk about men's relationship to pain, a most fascinating subject. Be sure to tune in. Now, here's the question. If the separation isn't for a higher purpose, think about that. If a man's separation is not for a higher purpose, then the boundary is not a boundary, but it's a wall. So let's say a guy says, I want to go out and get drunk. And he says that to his wife. I don't want his wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. He says it to his dog. I don't want to stay home with you. I want to go out and get drunk. And there's no higher purpose here. He's going out. If a man separates from one person, and the way he separates is to say, I'm going to go be with another woman. If the reason for his being with another woman is to run away from the one he's with, that's a wall. That's not a separation. That's not a boundary. So really setting boundaries is an ideal way of trying to find your own growth. It's like trying to be alone when you need to be alone, knowing that you have to be alone. Armand DeMille with you. It's Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Kind of programming about self that I hope you find interesting, because you guys out there, you're driving around doing your life, wondering what you owe to who, trying to behave in ways that make you think that you are going to be the patriarch in the family and you're going to be the ideal guy. And what's life like? I mean, who do you follow? Who do you believe? You spend your life feeling guilty and just following some idea that this mother image of a mate that you found is telling you to do? Setting your own boundaries. John Gray, in his book Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, he kind of puts this idea. He talks in this book about men needing their cave to retreat to. especially after a long day from a workplace. Men need time alone to unwind and make the transition to home and family, he said. Men sometimes read the paper or watch the news or putter in the basement or get on the computer. John Gray made the point that women often see this behavior as a man walling himself off from the relationship. However, Gray sees the cave as a healthy place, a boundaried place, a final frontier. If a woman will give a man this space and he has healthy boundaries, the man will return to the woman after a time, ready for relationship and intimacy. So just the fact that he comes home and runs away and runs to that cave, if you would allow it, you might wind up with a better person. When is a boundary, and when is it a wall? That's what we're addressing today here. Now, perhaps men need these spaces and intervals because of a hardwired pattern in their mind. These withdrawals may be unconscious movement towards a space of aloneness, personal search. Many women complain that men separate too easily. They don't necessarily buy the cave idea. They believe that the real problem for men is joining and relating. They think that men are afraid to relate or men are afraid to join. They're skeptical of talk about boundary setting. In some ways, there is a resentment of the old complaint about men not being able to complain, to commit. Many women feel there's even overemphasis on personal independence in society and in the men's movement. They're understandably wary of the rugged individualist. The man is a cowboy, you know, the Marlboro guy, the comprehensive society that evolves from this model. That's why they emphasize relatedness and the return to the mother, to the feminine, as the fount of relatedness. So a woman looks at men and says, you know, you have too much independence, you have too much aloneness, you're too much behind the wall. And the man needs some kind of space. And it's confusing because very often he's running behind the wall. And sometimes he's just running towards his own health, his own boundary. I do believe that men are taught to build walls as a way of seeming independent. Men are taught to build walls instead of boundaries as part of being manly. And this teaching is toxic to men as well as to women. This wall building is a pseudo-independent construction with no real separation and no real hope of joining in a healthy relationship later. The walls become another obstacle to a man's inner life. However, returning to the mother is too dangerous for a man at this stage in his psychic life, too fraught with landmines and ambushes. Moving towards the world of men is a healthier, safer place. Women should have no fear of a man's healthy boundaries. A separated man will also be a man who can relate from his inner life. An initiated woman will easily recognize healthy boundaries and respect a man who sets them. However, women have the right to be critical of walls, for this is often the only kind of boundary they experience from men. So a woman very often sees, you know, even their fathers setting up walls, brothers setting up walls, saying you're not allowed in. But they don't see, so they see the boundaries as walls. And it's hard to just respect it. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. Telephone number is 212-209-2900. Which I want to take your calls about men and their boundaries. I'm going to be talking about men, their boundaries, and I'm going to be talking more about the walls that they set. Now, about the walls, you know. A wall is a pseudo-separation where a man withdraws more deeply into his defenses, usually numbness and addiction. Most men, as I've mentioned, are taught to be walled off. They learn to act and feel detached. This is the boy code. This is what is the boy stuff. I am detached. I am separate. You can't touch me. I'm numb. I'll flee to my addictions. That's the wall that men do. That's when men flee to pornography, flee to over-sexuality, they flee to drinking, they flee to their addictions. Those aren't boundaries, those are walls. This is all the patriarchal training manual, you know? This is what they're taught by their fathers in the society. Men must show no fears, much less abandonment fears. They shouldn't worry about somebody leaving them if they want to be considered manly. In the face of emotional pain, men are taught to retreat behind walls. If they feel bad, they close themselves off. They drink, they smoke, they run. This is the manly thing we're taught. And that kind of separation neither separates a boy from his mother nor allows him to find a separate adulthood. In fact, the boy just becomes trapped in his boyhood. You see, a man who runs behind his own walls is running back to the safety of his boyhood. And that's why so many of you are looking for what you call a real man. You don't want a real man with muscles and hair on his chest who's strong enough to lift a Volkswagen. That's not what really counts. What you want is a person who's strong enough to be himself, to have his own boundaries, to have his own self that he brings to you, to feel confident in himself. That's what you're looking for. The muscles are nice, but not if the muscles are there to keep you away, to hold off the world. You see, that kind of man builds a wall, and the walls are purely protective. They insulate from pain. They have no higher purpose. There is no real separation because they're not separated from you in a way. They're afraid to leave you, so they stay there and they build a wall between you and them, and you talk to them and they go, duh, they're not listening. They don't hear you. And you yell at them and shout at them and scream at them and they go more dull, or they shout back. And nothing's taking place there behind their wall. There is no growth. Waldorf men never come out of their cave. It's not a coincidence that the cowboy is the model of manhood in our society. The Marlboro man has sold more cigarettes by far than any other marketing icon. Cowboys are independent. They have few loyalties or connections. They can move on at any time. The best cowboy never settles down. He seems separated, but for what purpose? The stereotype is that he goes around selflessly righting wrongs. Like the Lone Ranger, you know? Or the Lonely Ranger, actually. Right? He would just go right into town, and he would leave a bullet and then ride off. Right? With Tonto. Was that the Lone Ranger with Tonto? Yeah, it was the Lone Ranger. It wasn't Roy Rogers, right? Close to the truth is that he mostly smokes and wanders through plains and saloons. These men are bunkered behind their walls, unknowingly afraid to take the next step of separation. Inside, they feel safe. No person can hurt them. No woman can get to them. They often retreat into the addictions to relieve any pain they have. You know, a drinking man, a smoking man, a man alone on his horse, a man's man. No, he's nobody's man. The man they met had a drinking problem, and he denied it. He spent much of his free time in bars picking up women who also had drinking problems. During the week, he would cruise the bars and find someone for the night. However, he would always have one woman he would see regularly on weekends. This woman was home base. See? She would not know about the others and would think he was dating her regularly. Every year or so, home base would change. Usually after home base found out about his other weekday activities. So he would change his home base. Ed was incapable of being honest with any woman. He lied to cover his actions. He lied to make himself look better. He was not even honest with me about some of his abusive, drunken behaviors. One of the telltale signs of a wall is dishonesty. The truth too painful, too close to the ordeal. The truth is too much of a risk. Ed didn't want to lose home base. What do you think home base was? That's that mother addiction. That's that thing. Gotta leave you there, Mommy. Gotta make sure you're there for me. Ed seemed detached and separated from a mother object. He could easily leave any person he was close to. He did leave whenever a woman failed to meet his needs. He seemed like a modern cowboy, smoking and wandering. And you'll hear many men talk about, you know, how wonderful they are, and you'll see these independent guys who no woman could get to, and they feel so proud that they are untouchable. Untouchable. Nobody gets to me. Sure, you want some sex? I'll give you sex. You want a little pleasure? I'll give you a little pleasure. Sure, you want to hang out with me? Hang out with me. But nobody's going to get to me. You know guys like that? Ed was actually overconnected to his mother object, you know? Be it alcohol or a woman's body. Those are the addictions. Or a home base, you know? He's neither detached nor separated. Neither was he free to find any meaning in his life beyond the next pleasurable moment. He was miserable behind his walls. But you wouldn't know it if you saw him at a bar. He was a man. A man who builds walls is not open to any relationship that calls for the pain of honesty and compromise. Because that's what relationships demand. Honesty. Compromise. Neither is he open to the pain of the ordeal where he must face his own aloneness to find his direction. Like the average man, he gets caught up on getting his own needs met. Like most men, he's obsessed only on how he can be loved and pleasured. And that's what it's about. Relationships are, for the time being, give me love, give me pleasure, let me out of here. This is Armand DeMille. Must have touched some buttons with you, 209-2900. We're going to take a couple of calls. We'll go back to talking about this a little more. We're going to talk about how boundary can become a form of betrayal. 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Who is this?
Armand, how are you?
Oh, it's Rosie.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hello, Rosie.
When you just talked, haven't seen you, hope to see you when this heat wave is over, but and attending to some physical needs. I've got a lot on my plate, like physically too, you know, but this is the thing that interested me just when you said about, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, Rosie.
Good.
And I want to say it's nice to hear from you, and
thank
I
you.
Love you, and every time I've ever seen
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, I thought, the, I'm
how long do
about
I know you
work.
Now? It must be 10, 15 years, huh?
Well, we did the workshop at you know the place, when you had the fellow from Connecticut helping you.
Oh, and Wheaton Griffin was helping me, yes.
Yeah, Wheaton Griffin, right.
We did that workshop up in the country together, must have been
yeah,
15
that
years
was
ago.
So much, just thinking of that. A smile comes in my heart.
Yeah, you're wonderful. And you were yeah. helping a lot of people. You were helping a lot of people.
Yeah, and I enjoyed
it. Working with the
homeless,
you know.
Yeah, it was. You know what I wanted to ask? When you said, like, getting behind that wall, a man, we're talking men this morning, we were then. But if a person doesn't divulge any of the childhood things, how do you know what the wall that he's getting behind is? It's like a person who keeps a, does not want to be discovered at all in those little ways of who he liked more. Did he enjoy talking with his mother, the father, who was the sterner? Just doesn't divulge. So how do you know what wall that he's hiding behind that to protect that wonderful feeling that he had because his parents were good to him, and they allowed him to do, and you know, but doesn't talk about it at all.
Yeah, I think, you know, Rosie, you're so keen. You have such mm-hmm. a good sense about people yourself that what your suspicion is right. If a person's afraid to talk about themselves, if you hear them not wanting to do it, they're hiding something. And whatever, they may be hiding it from themselves, you know?
Yes, that's the awareness I'm saying. The awareness that I'll say sometimes something like that, and I don't want to sound analytical, I'll say, but if we're not aware, if we're aware, at least there's a beginning. You know, there's some beginning. But if there's no attempt to want to be aware or to start, like it's a start. It's a slow step, I know, a step at a time. But like when you get this feeling that there's, you can't drill that hole, you know, without the right proper thing. I don't know what the proper thing is, how you open up the key, the door.
Well,
to,
you know, sometimes you
go
can
ahead.
Open you can open that door, you can find access with a certain amount of love. But it's a trap. It's a trap for a woman to believe that a man who is walled off is going to be gotten by love and affection. Because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
A man who is walled off can only be gotten by himself. And that's where it's got to happen. It's got to happen on the inside. But the trap is for them to make you believe that if you do the right thing, you're going to get to them. See, that's the man's trap. The man's trap is to make you believe that if you do all the right things, that he's going to open up, that he's going to get better. So I understand. So you know what you've got to do, Rosie, is you've got to just go through life being as smart as you are and taking care of some of these little boys out there that are the men who are in your life. And it's okay.
Well, right now there aren't that many, but and one right now seems to be enough. I'll tell you. So I'm just saying it it certainly is not easy. Nobody said it was ever going to be easy. None of us are easy. We're all a little complicated, and I like it when you say that nobody's perfect, and I don't expect perfect. I'm the last one. I am so different from, I have a sister that's, is not a perfectionist exactly, but she strives to be efficient, so utterly efficient.
Yeah.
That we're different. We're so different.
Yeah. How old are you now, Rosie?
I just had a birthday, so I won't give you the exact age, but I'm a senior citizen. Is that good enough?
Sure. You're somewhere over the certain mark that makes you feel embarrassed to say your age, huh?
Yeah. It's kind of, I don't know why, maybe because some people are listening that know me. There are not too many that listen to BAI in my family, which
all right.
they
well, you
know.
Got, you got a right to do whatever you want. And you know, Rosie, I'll
a
say
little
this.
Bit of...
I'm sorry you're going through the physical pains you're going through, because I love you, and however I could be there for you, you let me know.
I know that you're there for me, Aman, and so I'm just kind of trying. I take one day at a time right now until I have to make some kind of a decision one way or another, sooner or later. But for the time being, I'm giving it a little bit more time, to see.
A little more time, and I got it. Let me get going.
And you don't have time, but don't people want to make some memories, I'm saying memories, if you don't making memories, it means somebody's not talking, or both people are not talking.
I think you're going to write that down, Rosie. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Okay, that doesn't sound stupid, do you know what
no,
I'm saying?
You never sound stupid. Thank you for calling in. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks a lot, Armand. You were a great help today, because, my gal is out still. Okay, I'll be talking to you. You know what I mean.
I know what you
okay,
mean.
Okay, bye-bye now. Take care.
Bye-bye. There goes Rosie. Somewhere over that 70 mark. Somewhere beyond it, you know what I mean? Who's cutting it down from 12 guys to like about 2 and still trying to understand them. But in the meantime, you should all know that Rosie has done more work with homeless people, taking them into her home, working with people who are indigent, really helping people out. She spent her life helping people. A lovely human being. Lovely, lovely human being. Wish there were more of them around, more around like her. Hey, listen, this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. We are going to take a little more call, but I have to keep a promise. I have to keep a promise about music. I have brought you something. Oh, did I find you a piece of music? Listen, this is exciting. There is certain music that if somebody put it on, you would probably not really listen. You'd, jumble a little bit to it. Then if you heard brass come in, you'd go, oh, no. Whatever you do, don't tune out on this one, because you're going to hear a rare moment in music. And Michael G., this one's going to knock you out, okay? Here is a piece of music. I'm going to play it. Started off soft. And you hear conga drum. And you might hear this music playing in some club, like a mambo club. To Elizabeth Casas Novas, you would say, oh yeah, this is family music, right? She's the famous Elizabeth Casas Novas, a Cuban emissary. But that's not what this music is about. This music is about having two visitors who come in to play music on this selection, which you're going to hear any second now. So I'm going to turn up the music, and you just lay back and get ready for this. If you're a mover, bring your body to this one. It's a little past 1:30 at WBAI in New York City. Here's what I wanted to bring you today. It's only 2 minutes, but it's hot. Now, isn't that sweet? That's on an album called Machito, M-A-C-H-I-T-O, by Machito. Machito is a great musician. And the name of the album was Kenya from many years ago, and it kept haunting me. I remember I would listen to this one album for one thing. Well, Cannonball Adderley, the tenor saxophonist, and Joe Newman, the trumpeter, are on that album, and that's their little appearance, really special, I think. Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here bringing you some ideas of the difference between boundaries and walls in men. See, men hide behind walls, and that's when they tell their women, stop breaking my walls. Oh, no, that's not what they say, is it? But that's what they're really saying, stop breaking my walls. But then you have a woman that you love, or a partner you love, and again, extrapolate this to homosexual relationships as well, if you want. A loved one will often see a healthy boundary as a typical male wall. If you're a person who has been facing male walls all your life, and then your father had put up male walls, and your brothers had put up male walls, when you see your partner setting a healthy boundary, you'll often interpret it as just another male wall. And you won't understand. You'll see the boundary setting as a withdrawal of control. You'll often see boundary setting as a betrayal, and you'll feel it as a betrayal. Your guy suddenly says, hey, I got to spend the day alone. What's wrong? Separation for a man in our culture is invariably misunderstood. A man who wants to be separate is usually lying. He wants to be separate because he wants to do something else and he's afraid to be honest about what he wants to do. But then there's the other guy. The guy who really wants the time to regroup, reshape, and reinvent himself. This misunderstanding is very painful, especially to a partner who is not very conscious, you know? They don't understand, especially if they don't look inside themselves. So sometimes, you know, growing up means disappointing those we love and who love us. Setting boundaries for a man regularly brings him face to face with being called selfish by loved ones. Sometimes it just means looking at the fear and sadness in a loved one's eyes. Most of the time, it involves facing one's guilt. So a young boy says to his mother, Mom, I'm going to get my own apartment. And Mom looks at him and says, but, who's going to feed the dog? And the young man may stay behind, and then somewhere, like, you know, he's 72 years old, he says, Mom, I think I should get my own apartment. You know, and eventually she says to him, all right, it's time to do it. What does he have to face? He has to face the fact that she's going to be disappointed, that she may have difficulty with separation, but he's trying to find out what he is. Men who set boundaries find themselves having to disagree with their female partners about what constitutes love. You see, now we'll use this weapon of how to keep a man from leaving me. I will now make him feel guilty by defining what love is. And this is great. This is great. There's an assumption in the heterosexual society that women know more about relationships than men do. Love and relationship is considered the domain of the woman. You see, women are assumed to be the authorities in the field. Today's man is caught in a very peculiar position because the definition of love has become feminized. You see, it is the female description of what love is that now the man is trying to live up to. What is love? Love is surrender. Love is openness. Love is allowing yourself to be connected. Ah, well, that's one description. That sounds feminine, right? And we're going to say that's the right one, right? Or that's the only one. Love is the unconditional acceptance. Well, that's to some people. But it is specifically a feminine description of love. What is love to a man? I don't know. I don't know what the other definition is, but men feel guilty because love is being described by women. And now that's our ideal. What is love? Love is whatever she says it is. And who am I to know? I don't know. Did you get her a ring? Yeah, she wants a ring. Why'd you get her a ring? Because if I love her, I'll get her a ring. Love is you buy her a ring. Love is you send her a card. Love is you remember her birthday. Love is, these are the definitions. Hallmark. Who do you think feeds Hallmark? You know, you think, how many men do you think, if men use their description of love, there would be Hallmark cards would be in business? I don't know, but they may be different cards. Separation, like having caves, is not the usual part of a female way of relating. Women do not separate very frequently. So separation becomes fearful and foreboding. And so therefore, putting the judgment on man separating himself is saying, therefore you don't love if you separate yourself, because I, the definer of love, am saying that you don't need to be separate. You just need to let yourself be swallowed into my bosom. And if you do that, then you will know what love is. You know what men say? I'll get even. That's what men say. I'll get even. And that's why my friends out there who want to have a relationship with a man, you have such a hard time with guys. Because men in secretly are saying, all right, I'll do it your way, but I'll get even. And they do. Now, does that mean you women therefore have to feed this? No. But understand it, I think. Some women don't help the situation by overemphasizing relatedness as the panacea for all men. Unfortunately, we live in a modern society where women are just as much in the dark about a true relationship as men are. There, I said it, and I'm glad. Women are not the authorities. Oh, boy, am I going to get some bad letters. Women are just as much a victim of the patriarchy as the men are. And the empress has just as few clothes as the emperor. Yet in our society, women tend to write the agenda for relationships, and men rarely question the agenda terms. Male boundary setting is rarely part of the woman's agenda when she writes a book about true love. So the healthy male mode of relating is not understood. I've experienced many responses by uninitiated people to boundary settings. You know, many people one woman will call a man cold or separate or irresponsible. A man usually will find himself criticized in one way or another for boundary setting. An uninitiated partner may also withdraw emotionally, including sexually, as a response to a man setting boundaries. All right, you want to spend the night alone? Then the following night you come back, you're on the couch. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know, maybe I better not spend that night alone. But you know what the man says? You know what he says inside? What do you think a man says? I'll get even with you. I forgot your birthday. I don't know how I forgot your birthday. I just forgot it. I wrote it down somewhere. Is it your birthday? I forgot it, yes. Well, you know, sex is usually the greatest test of a man's abandonment fears. Sex to a man is often his only connection to anyone. At this point of conflict, any man will be greatly tempted to withdraw the boundary. If you say to the man, you can't have sex if you have a boundary, the man says, "I screw the boundaries." Because sex is the only way I know of really feeling connected. So a man's not really used to connecting to himself. The threat can be withdrawal of sex, and the man will give himself up. But as we know, men may give themselves up for that little bit of sex. But I'll get even. They get even. And if he's gone too far, he'll be starting. He'll have many other feelings. He'll be sensitive enough to feel badly about displeasing so many people, including his family, his extended family. His guilt tempts him to give up his need to separate. His uncertainty, you know, will cause him to waver. His sense of loyalty as a protector will kick in. You know, he'll take care of you. Going back does not mean defeat. It is often part of the process, because a man who gives up his boundaries may give them up once or twice, but eventually he sets it. It's a funny thing when you get older, you know, when you're married for a number of years and sex doesn't have all that important meaning. Then suddenly somebody says to you, you know, and you got to sleep on the couch. Whoa, what a relief. That's great. Okay, I'll sleep on the couch. It'll be nice. It'll be nice to get some fresh air. I'll be alone. It'll be all right. And, honey, I'll come back and I'll sleep with you the next night. But just the fact that I'm not going to have sex for one night, that doesn't mean that much to me. It's all right. So men who get past it have a tendency to set their own boundaries a little better. Men who can't be intimidated. You know what one woman said to me? She said, the thing about men that I hate the most is that I can intimidate them. Is that I can scare them. That I can get them to do anything I want. She said, I can't stand that. I can't stand that I could wave my body and have the guy do just about anything. This is Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900. We're going to take another call right now. Might I have stirred some thoughts? Might I have stirred some thinking out there? I'm sure you're going to have a lot of objections to what I'm saying, especially to the part about women not having any better idea of what relationships are than men. This is the kind of thinking that will get me stoned. Well, not by getting me stoned, but get me stoned walking down the streets. You know, people will throw rocks. You know, it's like, what do you mean? We women know what love is about. You men don't know diddly about it. Hey, don't break my walls. 212-209-2900. Let's see if we all knew that we were all stupid. If you admitted you know nothing about it, and I admitted I know nothing about it, then we could say, all right, let's see, what do you think this love thing is? And then you and I sit down, and we are like, love is doing the deed. Is that love? All right, let's have sex. Ah, is that love? Yeah, that felt like love. Okay, that felt like love, too. Good. Let's do the next thing. Love is going to the movies. Oh, that's great. Let's go to the movies. Did you enjoy the movie? Well, I didn't like that movie so much. I'd like to go see this kind of movie. I'd like to go see a war movie. Oh, war movie. I don't want to see a war movie. I want to go see a movie about, you know, romance. Oh, was it? All right. Well, I want to see the war movie. We'll separate. I'll go see the war movie. You go see the love movie. And then we'll get together afterwards. What's the matter? Don't you love me anymore? All right. You go see your war movie. But when you get back, don't expect me to feel romantic towards you. And don't think tonight we're going to spend the night. Oh, I won't go see the war movie. I'll go see your romance movie. If that means we get together tonight. See, this is what love is. Love is giving up your war movies to see romance movies so you can get laid. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
I'm calling in reference to this conversation. I just think it's wonderful that you are touching upon this subject. One of the things that I have a question about is I am currently involved with someone that had previously been incarcerated. And although he has a great relationship with his mother, he tends to flee a lot anytime we spoke. Do you have any comments on that?
It's very hard to hear you here on this call. Are you talking on a cell phone or on a remote phone?
No, I'm in South Jersey. Maybe that's what it is.
Ah, the good old South Jersey syndrome. So you're talking about being in love with a man who is incarcerated, right? He's in jail.
Who was
in jail.
He was incarcerated for 10 years, and he's been out for 3. And he's doing very well. He finds that he needs to give back to society a lot. So he works with a lot of things that are in crisis. So meaning, by the time I see him, he's all drained of what he's given out emotionally.
Right. So here comes the question. I mean, he's saying the right words. The right words is, I'm drained because I've given out emotionally. This is like the doctor who goes home to his wife, you know, or the psychologist who goes home, like, give. I don't want to give anymore when I come home. It may be true, it may not be true. Does he, when he recovers, after coming home from work, eventually get to a point where he is able to come up and be with you?
It may be weeks at a time. It may be 3 or 4 weeks at a time before he recovers.
Yeah, that sounds a little too far. That sounds like a little too much. That sounds like a person who is really hiding behind a wall. So I would like to ask him, what do you need when you come home? Do you need quiet for a little period of time? You know, what do you need? What does he need, by the way?
He needs quiet. He definitely needs quiet. He needs laughter. He likes to put on a comedy movie or something like that and laugh. And then he relaxes, but then he goes to sleep.
Yeah, I hear. Well, you see, now there's where boundary setting on your part comes in. Because now you're a woman saying, look, all well and good, I really like you and I know you need this, but I as a woman have a different need. And I'm setting my own boundaries. I can't sit here and wait for you to wake up to the point where you could finally, after giving to the whole world, how about giving me a little of it? You know what I mean? There's a little bit coming in this direction. Hold back a little. So that's where your boundary setting comes in.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's been hard to do. I've been trying to do that, but I really do.
Because you're afraid of separating. Because you're afraid of losing him.
Ah. Okay. I understand now.
Because separation.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. You see, the other part of a man's dilemma is that on the other side of this, you have these people who you're related to who are afraid of separating with you as well. So it's kind of a collaboration, you see. If you're in love with a man, whether you're a man or a woman, if you're in love with a man and somehow it's not pleasing you, you've got to set your boundaries. Now, that's very hard because, as we said, for some people, the whole idea is getting together and only getting together counts. But somehow we have to be able to face this, I can dare risk being alone. You know, we at least have to be like Rosie, who we heard from earlier today, who says, you know, I'm going to spend my life looking and I could be accepting of you, but I'm not going to bring you all the way in as my sole source of my identity. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, hi there.
Armand?
Yes.
Hello. Hello.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I can barely hear you. I'm on a cell phone?
Yes, sometimes cell phones do that, and it may not be...
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I'm trying.
Okay. I love what you're saying because I think it makes you look at your aloneness. And I think that what the bottom line for me, what you're saying is that you have respect for another human being, but you have respect for yourself when you're setting boundaries.
Yes, I agree.
That you're saying that you don't want to be in a relationship where you can manipulate a person to do whatever you want them to do, but you want to be in a relationship where it's you have another person in your life with their own thoughts, their own convictions, and their own sense of who they are. And I know that I spent most of my life being with a man that didn't have that. And it doesn't feel good on the other end. It feels really bad.
Yes,
does that make sense?
Yes, it sure does, and I fully understand. I fully understand what you're saying. Thank you for making the comment. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You see, it's really true. It's really true because it's this disrespect you get. In a way, when you disrespect your partner, you disrespect yourself. You get this? I mean, this sounds like a cliche. But if you treat your partner like garbage and they take it and they live like garbage because they're afraid of losing you, then you are now a garbage collector. You know, you've kind of moved down. Just being the king of your castle where you could control everything around you and having people that you control and getting the weakest egos you could find and getting them to do your bidding doesn't do very much for you, because what you've done is you've gone down to that level. But having a relationship with somebody of equal power, or somebody who has their own power, or somebody who says, no, I think I'll do it my way. Now, that's a different story. Now we're talking about relating. Now we're talking about somebody who separates themselves and says, I am me, and you are you, and let's hope we can get together on this one. Because the other way, with all the cajoling and convincing and guilt-provoking and all that stuff, it kind of leads to something, but not something I would call a successful relationship. 212-209-2900. Let's take one more call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
I am good. Who is this?
Good. This is Gloria. And, you know, I do agree that women are not an authority on love and relationships. They don't know everything. And, you know, I'd be the first one to admit that I don't know everything. But, you know, when you say that men will do anything for sex, I totally disagree, because the gentleman that I'm currently in a relationship with, I mean, I purposely withhold sex from him because, you know, he won't do what he's supposed to do, you know. And he's like, fine. You know, he just won't do it.
Well, I agree that some men can't be diddled that way. Okay? Some men don't have it. Some men are so closed off sexually. I'm sure that when the two of you have sex, it's not any great moment anyway. It might be a nice experience between the two of you, but as passion goes, it doesn't sound like either one of you are firebrands. You know, it sounds like, because if you could withhold it like that and say, yeah, I'm going to just take it away and I'm going to keep it inside my socks for now, you know, it just means that you don't mind it being inside your socks. But
well,
if
I'm so angry. I'm usually angry because he's not doing the things that he's supposed to do, so that's why I withhold it in the first place.
Right. What is he? Does he play golf?
No, he doesn't help me with the bills. I'm the only one that works. We have a 13-year-old, and, you know, it's just really hard. He doesn't seem to understand that I struggle and that him as a man is really supposed to be responsible. And,
right. It's
you know,
very tough. So you have all these shoulds of what he should do, I understand. So there's only one weapon you have left. It's not holding back sex. It's stealing the remote. It's getting the remote control to the TV and saying you can't have this under any circumststances. Then he'll do anything.
But I don't care if he has the remote, you know?
I know.
I
understand, and so do you. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot.
Right, bye-bye. Well, I'm glad to hear that we've heard from so many women. I really am, because I really think that in a way we owe this to women, this explanation of men. We owe it to men, too, you know? This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. If you wanted a copy of today's program, which I think everybody should have, you can order it from a place that charges for reproducing it, by the way. I wanted you to know. It's at 1-800-575-0580. That's 1-800-575-0580, 0580. I'd like to hear comments from you. I'm building these shows based on what you say and your responses. The email is armand@brainlink, B-R-A-I-N, one word, L-I-N-K, brainlink.com. Look forward to hearing from you. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to talk about pain and men's relationship to pain. Very different than women's, I think. Something to learn about. Bye-bye for now.